live from the Carter Subaru Studio. This is the Jason Rantz Show. Join the conversation online. Go to CairoRadio.com. Click on that Linwood Honda inbox. Search for the name Jason Rantz. We have a really, really big show for you tonight, including, I'm actually really excited about this one. I think, Sean, you will be too. At 7:33, the lead singer of Madison Rising, the band that performed at the Daytona 500 over the weekend, the band that everyone said was the worst performance of the Star-Spangled Banner ever, is going to be with us at 7:33. He's going to talk a little bit about the embarrassment of that video that went viral. But first, last week we brought to you the story of a student at Wilson High School in Tacoma who was part of a pro-life club on campus. With the help of the Thomas More Society, the student alleged that the school administration wouldn't allow him to post his pro-life posters because they were too controversial. The Thomas More Society threatened a lawsuit. I promised that I would follow up on the story, and it appears that this has now been resolved, at least according to my guest, Shannon McMinimy, the general counsel for the Tacoma Public School District. Shannon, thank you so much for coming on again with me tonight. I appreciate it.
Happy to come on.
So where do we stand?
Well, hopefully the issue has been resolved. There was some communication between my office and the attorneys for the Thomas More Society, where we both attempted to clear up each other's information to make sure we were working from the same set of facts, because they were hearing information, I think, second or third hand, and I was hearing it from school administrators and had the ability to go to the school and look at the walls myself. And so separate from my interactions with them, the Wilson High School administration invited the student leaders of Wilson Students for Life and their parents to a meeting that was actually scheduled for today. But in trying to set up that meeting, the other student leaders of Wilson Students for Life let us know that really this was an issue that their president was championing, and they really didn't have an interest in coming and meeting with school staff or having their parents meet with school staff. So the school principal met with the principal, with the president of Wilson Students for Life and his parents yesterday, and explained to them some of the communication issues that it seemed like both sides were having, and offered to be a conduit for future concerns, and explained to them that the administration has decided to adopt a new policy with respect to club posters, mostly because of all of the disruption that has occurred in the last week. And that is that from henceforward, all non-curricular ASB club posters are going to be limited to identifying the name of the group, the date, time, and location of meetings or events, and that there's not going to be any symbols or slogans allowed for any group's posters, to ensure that that there's still an opportunity for students to advertise to their fellow students when meetings and events are, but without the potential for the disruption that has occurred this week, and without the potential for asking our administration to spend an awful lot of time reviewing each and every poster or flyer request by every student group.
So the original potential disruption was over the idea that, according to the student, the poster's content was censored. And in a way, the solution to that problem seems to be censoring content. I mean, I'm a little disturbed by the resolution to this, more so than the actual allegations, because I think, you know, part of a healthy high school is being able to have conversations and elicit emotions and talk about really tough topics and in a civil way and grow from them. How does that do that? How does this new policy do that?
There's still the opportunity for all of those conversations to happen at club meetings and activities. But what it does is it takes, you know, all of the events of the last week, it's not really censorship. It's the application of laws that apply to schools because of the special nature of the school setting. Ultimately, the administration actually considered not allowing any posters to go up at all because of how disruptive.
And that would have been a worse,
yeah,
that would have been an obviously a worse outcome. But I mean, when we're talking about
it's one they had the right to pursue, and they wanted to balance that against making sure that the school runs and functions. And their primary mission is, of course, the education of our students. And so when they're prevented from focusing on their primary mission because they're dealing with hundreds of phone calls from out-of-state individuals who've read misinformation that's been put out on the internet in a press release. It really prevents them from doing their job, and it was also causing unnecessary conflict with this student group who have been allowed to do everything they wanted to do. And it was coming down to a debate between the students and the administration over what the administration has the right to do. And clearly, there was never going to really be an agreement between the student and the administration about the potential for disruption, impingement on the rights of others, or vulgar or obscene nature of particular content. And so it really just levels the playing field for what posters on the wall are on the wall, but it doesn't change students' abilities to have conversations, to engage in activities that are going to express their viewpoint and have a dialogue. But it takes it out of the situation of the school having to spend its time regulating what specific sentence on any particular club's poster might cause a problem.
But wouldn't you acknowledge that the school oftentimes has to deal with situations that are not ideal, because that's just part of life? So if some kid shows up late one day to school and he says, oh, it's not fair because I live far away from the school and there was traffic, if someone complains to you, you don't say, okay, well, let's start the school date later in the day. You say, okay, well, we'll address this particular issue and we'll come to terms with it and come to an agreement. It seems like you acknowledge, and the school acknowledges, that there was a miscommunication of some sort. I can understand where the miscommunications happen on both sides. Honestly, I think that it makes sense. Some of the conversations that this particular student had was misconstrued, and I understand that some of the things that the school did might have made it easier for miscommunication. I just don't see how this doesn't hurt the discourse at the school, stopping just an average student from being exposed to different ideas. Now you actually have to show up to some of these meetings when before, with just a simple poster, you could have conveyed a really important message. I think, you know, part of the issue that the student brought up was another student group, the Gay Straight Alliance, put up a pro-gay marriage message or a pro-gay rights message.
No, they put up a poster that had the date and time of their club meeting, and at the bottom wrote something about love is equal. But
that's an important message, though. But wouldn't you say that now that message can't be up on a board?
Well, it wouldn't be included on a flyer for the club's events. No, it wouldn't.
But don't you think
not having
it's better than
a circumstance where they're not allowed to put flyers up at all? It's unfortunate that things got to this, but the reality is the Wilson administration has to focus on their primary mission and spend their time educating students and not being the arbiters over what others may consider to be disruptive, impinge on rights, or be obscene or vulgar. We certainly wish that we could have continued with the way things were, but
what was obscene or vulgar? Because we keep hearing obscene or vulgar. I'm not sure why.
That would be the potential to evaluate every single poster or flyer as to whether something would be obscene or vulgar. I think with respect to the fetus and embryo image posters, there was a concern that if a phrase "abortion breaks tiny hearts" was left on those posters, given the content of the graphic, that would be something that could be construed as obscene, vulgar, or plainly offensive.
But didn't the school determine?
The primary concern about that one was disruption.
Sure, and the school determined, though,
believed that when the phrase was removed, it decreased the chance for disruption from that poster.
What define disruption? Define disruption for us, just so we have a basic understanding. Because it's my understanding that the Supreme Court has made a pretty high bar for us to hit this idea that disruption may occur. I think in Tinker, they flat out said.
The Supreme Court actually hasn't looked at the issue since the 1950s, but lots of local courts have looked at the issue. The Court of Appeals has looked at the issue. Here in the Ninth Circuit, there are several U.S. district courts that have looked at the issue in Washington State with respect to school districts. And remember, the Tinker test is actually two-pronged. It's both cause material and substantial disruption of the educational environment or impinge on the rights of others.
And so it can't be a fear. It can't be a fear of the school that there's a
differentiated fear.
Exactly. But it's a higher bar is all I'm saying. And I think you would agree with that. It's not something that like, oh, well, it might be a disruption. It goes a little bit higher than that.
Right. And certainly looking at other past circumstances where there have been disruptions, in this particular instance, it's my understanding that the student the student club president raised concerns that other students were taking down his posters and wanted the school administration to use surveillance video to try and find out who that was, to issue out discipline.
So you say no. So you say, I'm sorry, kid, I'm not going to do that, but
right.
This is, you know, this
it's
is part of life.
That they have to have that takes away from their ability to do their job. And I think
that is their job. I mean, with respect, I would argue that's part of their job.
Their primary job is to be instructional leaders, to be in the classroom,
sure.
Looking at the education that teachers are delivering, evaluating that. Their job is not to be the arbiter of student speech. And really, their mission is to make sure that the 1,200 students at the school are receiving high-quality education. And so their first and primary role is instructional leaders. And everything else has to come after that. And unfortunately, because of how this issue ended up taking up so much of their time, it just became the most reasonable solution was either to eliminate all posters altogether for non-curricular groups or come up with a much more straightforward, clear, this is all that's going to be allowed position so that the administration doesn't have to spend significant amounts of time looking at each and every proposed poster. At the end of the day, it ended up having very little impact because of the Wilson Student Posters for Life, the Wilson Students for Life posters that are up right now, the dozen or so that are there now, I guess they've changed or taken down some of the posters that were there last week, but the dozen or so posters that are up now, none of them have to be changed. None of the posters, there are only three or four, maybe five active clubs on the Wilson campus altogether. And so, you know, none of the Wilson Students for Life new posters need to be changed. None of the posters
But posters going up in the future cannot necessarily provide a viewpoint or an opinion on a particular topic, even if it's deemed uncontroversial. And honestly,
correct.
I think that's a problem. And I guess it goes down to whether or not someone finds this to be reasonable.
And I'm a lawyer, and
sure.
The school staff are administrators and educators first. And so that's where they get the deference to have the focus be on education and on making sure that the students at the school are receiving a high-quality education and that they're not spending the majority of their time being the arbiters of what's on what poster. And so it's the resolution that they came up with. It's a resolution that's going to apply equally to all. My understanding from the principal is that it was a resolution that the student at issue and his family were comfortable with once they discussed it.
Sure.
It does not have a significant impact on clubs at all because they're able to continue to do all of the things they were doing before. They just need to not have messages on their posters or images on their posters.
Shannon McMinimy, the general counsel for the Tacoma Public School District. Thank you for coming on with me tonight. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you.
This is the Jason Rant Show. Welcome back to the Jason Rant Show. If you want to join the conversation, I'd love to hear your thoughts on what's happening at Wilson High School in Tacoma. CairoRadio.com. Click on the Linwood Honda inbox. Search for the name Jason Rants. I can't remember what grade I was in. It must have been fifth or sixth. And I was playing handball one day. And I tripped as I was playing handball. And I cut myself pretty good on the knee. And I went into the nurse's office. They patched me up. And then they canceled handball for everyone. No, I'm just kidding. You know what they did? They patched me up and they told me to be careful. And they didn't, in fact, end the whole game of handball at the school. Because that would be an unreasonable response. Now, this seems to me what's happening in Wilson High School to be an unreasonable response to a miscommunication that they agree was the case. At the end of the day, did they spend a little extra time of their jobs having to explain this? Yes. That's part of their job. That is part of their job to resolve some of the issues that are at play here. Now, because they don't want to have to deal with potential interference from either outside groups or from students who do not like or appreciate some of the messaging on some posters at school, they decided to, hey, the only posters we're going to allow are the boring ones that simply say the name of a group and the time that they're meeting. Instead of actively pushing out some sort of messaging, some sort of topic, some sort of belief to a group of students who very may well look at that poster and say, hey, you know what? I have an opinion on this. hey, this poster has made me start thinking about a topic, an important topic in our community, in a slightly different way. Or, hey, I'm now exposed to a different belief system and I don't like it. In fact, I'm stronger now in my own belief system. That's good. Conversation is good. An open discussion of different ideas is good. And sometimes all you need to do is put a poster on a wall that says something controversial or not, that just delivers a different idea, delivers a different perspective, delivers a different outlook on a particular topic. And you know what those kids do? Those impressionable young minds, they look at it and they react. And then they have conversations. Sometimes they have conversations with each other. Sometimes they have internal monologues about a certain topic. And that's good. That's something we want to encourage. We want to expose teenagers, kids, to different perspectives. And what the Wilson High School school did in Tacoma is they said, you know what? We're going to make it a little bit harder for kids to get exposed to different ideas. I understand why they want to do it. I do. They don't want to have to deal with any potential lawsuits. That makes sense to me. But in the end, what you're doing is you're harming kids. You're harming them. You're making it harder for them to grow as people, to grow into adults who contribute to society, because the only way they're going to contribute is if they give a damn about some of the topics that face the community. And now we're telling them, no, we're not going to put anything up on walls that might get them to think about topics a little bit more deeply, to think about complex topics that challenge them a little differently. And that does so much damage. And I'm not sure if some kid puts up a poster that would otherwise be deemed legally protected speech, if they did that at Wilson High School and they got it taken down, if they went to court against Wilson High School, if they wouldn't win. And I do tend to wonder and hope, really, if I'm being honest, I hope some kid at Wilson High School puts up a poster and challenges the school rule. This is a bad school rule, and this is a school rule that's damaging and worthy of being pushed to the limits as far as possible. So I encourage, I know maybe I'm not supposed to do that, but I kind of encourage someone at Wilson High School to test some of these policies in a responsible way. Put up a little poster with a little smiley face. See if it gets taken down. Take that to court. And let's see how much willing they're willing to go to try and defend this. I'm annoyed by this, and I'm a little annoyed. So CairoRadio.com, click on the Linwood Honda inbox. When we come back, the lead singer behind Madison Rising, they performed at Daytona this weekend, and apparently their Star Spangled Banner was deemed the most horrific rendition of the song ever. He's going to join us to talk about it when we come back on the Jason Rand Show. Madison Rising performed at the Daytona International Speedway this past Saturday. Welcome back to the Jason Rantz Show. The performance was called A Joke and the Worst Rendition of the Star Spangled Banner We Have Ever Seen at a Sporting Event. That by Larry Brown Sports. USA Today described it as spectacularly awful. Video of the performance went viral, earning well over 6 million hits already. And the lead singer of Madison Rising, Dave Bray, joins me now. A little bit of a tough week for you, right?
Hold my head high, man. No fear.
How do you feel?
I'm fine, man. I thought the performance was actually okay. I mean, honestly, the reason that we played NASCAR was because our original video from the Star Spangled Banner on Madison Rising's page, madisonrising.com, it has gotten 5 million hits, and it's been met with nothing but 99.9% positive views and positive responses. So they thought, you know, why not bring it on? But unfortunately, I don't think NASCAR understood that you really have to let us do our entire version to, get the point across and let people understand why we are doing it the way we are doing it. So, I mean, I think it was just basically people were not expecting a rock and roll version of the Star Spangled Banner. They were expecting the normal deal. And if NASCAR would have promoted a little better and telling people what was coming, they would have been ready.
I got to say, like I said last night on the show, I actually kind of liked it. I could see why people might have been shocked in that, yeah, you're right, it's not the traditional version of the Star Spangled Banner, but that's part of why I liked it, was it's something a little bit different. I'm a rock fan in general, and so I liked what you guys did with it, but you said you liked it as well, so I'm assuming the reaction to it, to this particular performance, was shocking.
I think that was it. I mean, people that watch these NASCAR events every week, they had walked up to us and they were just like, that was the best we've ever seen. So it was very shocking to find out once we got off stage that the media had picked it up and basically bashed it. You know, we, like I said, this is what Madison Rising does. We are America's, you know, patriotic rock band. This is why we do what we do, to stand up and be proud of being American and being proud to rock it out with pride. And that pride and that essence of patriotism is what Madison Rising started out with doing 3 years ago. We've done nothing but pro-American patriotic rock music to get a message through to our kids and to our youngsters and the people of America that American culture is alive and well, and we're not just going to stand and take it and watch people try to destroy that.
Well, why do you feel that that is an important message for you as a band to take on? I mean, obviously, you can take on any message in the world. Why this particular one?
Well, I mean, patriotism for me is something that came from my service in the military. I was a Navy Marine Corps vet, served with 2nd Battalion, 2nd Marines. Come from a rich military family, rich not as in money, but just yeah. Rich as in just about every guy that's been in my family has served, my dad, my brother, uncles. You know, it's one of those things that is sort of instilled at you into you at a young age. The idea to do a rock band and be patriotic with it and do nothing but patriotism is sort of the same as a band like Stryper. You know, they do nothing but pay homage to the Lord and pay homage to God, and that's fine. But we wanted to pay homage to God and country, and we wanted to stand up for some of the things that a lot of people in the music business are a little bit scared to stand up for. So Madison Rising stands for the Second Amendment. We stand up and support our troops. We stand up and support our men and women in uniform, our first responders, our fire and police. And that's what we've done with our new record. It's called American Hero. And people want to check it out, go to MadisonRising.com. If people really want to find out what Madison Rising is about, go to MadisonRising.com. That is the beginning of your journey. If you really don't care and you just thought it was a crappy anthem, that's fine too. You can have that opinion. But at the end of the day, what we're trying to do is get our kids excited about being patriotic at an early age. And what better way than rock music?
Do you think that that message that you have, that you're known for, help to inform some of the criticism? Do you think some folks went after you in the media because you're known as this patriotic pro-American band?
They may have, but at the end of the day, this is what we do. It's what we stand behind, and we're not going to stop doing it. If the media has taken that role, and I'm not saying they haven't, you know, that may have been what we all thought coming out of, you know, look at the liberal media attacking this band. But at the end of the day, you know, it was everybody. A lot of people just weren't ready for it, you know. So, yes, some of it may have been liberal media that came out first and foremost with their, you know, swing for the fences, let's destroy this, the ideals of America type thing, which is, you know, not uncommon. But, you know, at the end of the day, we're not going to stop the fight. And we knew that when we got into this band, I was telling the guys, listen, we knew when we got into this thing, this was not going to be easy. We knew that we were going to be met with resistance on all fronts and all sides, from the music industry and the media and everybody else. Certain media outlets obviously have taken a liking to us. You know, Fox News, they enjoy what we do because of what we stand for. But, you know, at the end of the day, I put my head down on my pillow, I say my prayers, and I thank the Lord for giving me the opportunity. So if people don't like that, that's fine. They are entitled to that opinion all day long. It's America. Please be entitled to it. But if you really want to find out what Madison Rising is about, you definitely have to watch the full video, the 4 minute and 20 second video that we have up on YouTube, and make your judgments from there. I mean, you can take that performance, but that wasn't really what Madison Rising was. I mean, that was us on that stage, but that's just a small piece of what we stand for.
And we'll post to it at facebook.com/JasonRantsShow if anyone wants to check out the full-length version of the song. Was there any particular piece of criticism that really stung? Was there anything out there that you read that you're like, oh, God, that cut deep?
There was some mudslinging that kind of went down. Some people had just made just derogatory statements just because, I mean, we dress like rockers. We dress like rocker guys. We wear chains and leather and you know, tight jeans and long hair. And you know, I understand that that's not the typical garb for the Star Spangled Banner. And maybe we should have been a little bit more formal about how we address that song, but
should you have? Should you have really? I mean, isn't that going against what you guys stand for?
That's the thing. For the perspective of some people, maybe our dress was a little bit too whatever rock and roll. But at the end of the day, this is who we are, and we're not hiding behind anything. We're just trying to spread the word of patriotism with rock music. And unfortunately, you can't. Well, I don't think you can dress like you're going to church to do that. But you know, in a sense, that stage is my church, and that flag that I hold over my heart is part of my religion, and it's part of my country, and it's part of what I stand for. It's part of what the oath I took as a military guy, and I never de-oathed. So I still continue to fight for the Constitution and the rights of the citizens of this country.
I'm talking with Dave Braze, the lead singer of Madison Rising. The new album is American Hero, and we're going to post information to it again on our website if you want to check it out. Are there any positives to come out of this? So you got ripped in the media pretty fairly across the board. What are some of the good things that came out?
I'll tell you what happened is the best thing that could have ever possibly happened. Our fans are some of the most loyal, patriotic fans in America, and they're tired of the way things are going just on a day-to-day basis. And the fact that we have these, you know, 100,000 fans that are willing to go to bat for us in social media and willing to stand up and say, you know what, slow your roll, take a step back, and really take a look at what this band is about before you just decide that you're going to judge them on this performance that was you know, maybe not their greatest. But at that point in time, that's what happened. And then the more people that came out against us, they were just onslaughted. It was like a siafu of ants that were just like, you got to be kidding me, blah, 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 blah. That's how passionate these people are, and that's how passionate the Madison Rising fans are. You know, we call them the militia for a reason. They are diehard pro-American patriots, and that is what this country was founded on, and that's why we do what we do. So, you know, that has been the coolest part about this. Our fans have really stood up for us, and those people are willing to go to bat for us. And those people who really know what Madison Rising is about, they're not afraid, man. They know where we stand. So that's been the coolest, I will have to say, the most bone-chilling thing that I've seen happen online.
So what's next for you guys?
We're actually doing an event in Fort Worth, Texas. It's called Halo for Freedom. For our wounded warriors. We're going to be down there March 7th. And these are the kind of events we do. We do, mm-hmm. We just did a Naval Sport Special Warfare Navy SEAL event out in California. We travel the country and we try to do as much that benefits our troops and our soldiers, our men and women. You know, we try to take what we do seriously. It is a rock band and it is fun. But at the end of the day, there are things that need to be said about what is going on in this country. And we take that to heart, and there's support that needs to be given for our troops and for our soldiers. You know, we met up with the Gary Sinise and the Gary Sinise Foundation, mm-hmm. and hung out with those guys. You know, after the race and all that hoopla, you know, we ended up hanging out with guys that are, you know, unfortunately wheelchair bound, but still hold their heads high. And if we can put a smile on their faces, you know, after they've given such a sacrifice, it makes it all worthwhile. So at the end of the day, that's what we're doing as a band. And, you know, some critics often wherever with a blog site, they're not going to stop that. So we're pretty content to continue on down the road. We'll also be releasing our video for the song Hero off the new record, nice. American Hero, and that's coming out in about 3 weeks. So,
and are you coming up to Washington any point? Come on, we got JBLM up here.
MadisonRising.com. You can check out our tour dates there. We do have some stuff coming up in Washington. So yeah, please check us out. Go to MadisonRising.com and find out where we're going to be.
Well, Dave, I appreciate you coming on the show tonight. I appreciate your attitude, your pro-patriotic attitude. Totally appreciate it. I liked what you did. I'm intrigued to check out more of it. So everyone, check out Madison Rising. We'll also link to it on our Facebook page. Dave, thank you so much for coming on tonight. I appreciate it.
You got it, man. Sorry I'm stumbling through this, but I'm exhausted.
Well, hey, you got ripped the last few days, so I'm glad you came on. I appreciate it.
True. No worries. No fear, right?
It's the Jason Rantz Show. Welcome back to the Jason Rantz Show. Facebook.com/Jason Rantz Show, RANTZ. I would be very humbled if you would go over to that page and hit like. And by humbled, I mean you will be feeding in to my enormous ego. Facebook.com/Jason Rantz Show. Do it, people. I'm just being honest. Even the scoreboards in high school gyms eventually will have to promote good health. Moving beyond the lunch line, new rules that were proposed today by the White House and the Agriculture Department would limit marketing of unhealthy foods in schools. KTVT has more.
School cafeteria menus are already changing, and soon the attention-grabbing snack marketing on campus could be changing too.
Our classrooms should be healthy places where kids are not bombarded with ads for junk food.
First Lady Michelle Obama and Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack are proposing a ban on ads for junk food and sodas. It's part of the First Lady's Let's Move initiative to battle childhood obesity.
If you can't sell it, you really ought not to be able to market it.
But Secretary Vilsack admits it's big business. He says companies spend almost $150 million each year on marketing in schools. The changes would remove popular drink ads seen from school scoreboards and vending machines. The proposal follows USDA regulations limiting calories, fats, and sugars in foods sold in schools.
Our vending machines have 100% fruit juice. Our chips are whole grains. They buy all those things. If you give them something, an alternative, they'll take it.
But not everyone is on board.
I see these new regulations potentially driving up their costs when schools simply can't afford to spend money in places other than kids' educations.
A congresswoman from South Dakota has proposed her own legislation to scale back federal guidelines.
And at a speech today, the First Lady took to rapping to help spread the word as to how effective this message is when given to kids. I'm not going to play it all. I'm not going to play it at all, in fact. I think you should go watch it and experience it, because I really truly believe you have to actually see the video of this particular rap. It's important to give you some context on the story. 90% of marketing in schools that falls under this category of marketing food and beverage is actually related to beverages. So about 90% is related to beverages, and many soda companies have already started to transition their sales and their advertising from sugary sodas and sports drinks to their own healthier products such as water or such as fruit juice. The AP noted that these new rules would mean a scoreboard at a high school football or basketball game eventually wouldn't be allowed to advertise Coca-Cola, for example, but it could advertise Diet Coke, which seems incredibly weird to me. Now, at the end of the day, in the overall picture of this, I tend to support this. I think it's actually a smart move. It seems odd that, you know, we talk about drug money. Well, it seems odd that we're taking sugar money from products that legitimately make our kids fat, that legitimately make our kids unhealthy. And I wish when I was younger, someone pushed me away from soft drinks and away from fast food and all the other crap I ate as a kid that made me be so fat when I was younger. But there is some hypocrisy going on here, and we have to address it. This idea that we're going to start pushing diet soda. Well, study after study that seems to be coming out suggests the Diet Coke, Diet Pepsi, all these diet sodas are not actually all that healthy for you. In fact, a lot of cases, they start triggering your brain to treat the soda you're drinking as if it's sugar, and then you get cravings for other stuff. Now, I made this decision about now it's like almost 8 months ago. I decided to stop drinking soda, and I drank Diet Pepsi the way Dory Monson drank Diet Coke. I was going like 6, 7, 8 of those bottles a day. And one that's incredibly pricey at the end of the day, but it's also just really, really unhealthy, and I've just changed. I switched now to water and tea, and that's pretty much all I drink. And the first day or so, it was more of a week. It was kind of tough, but then you got rid of it. But I'm glad I did, because all the studies seem to say all the crap that's in diet soda isn't good for you. And then, of course, if you ask certain dietitians, if you talk to people who are in the paleo movement, for example, they'll say, yeah, this whole grain stuff, that's also not good. So in the big scheme of things, I'm glad they're moving towards at least getting rid of the sugar, because isn't that something that we can all agree on? That sugar is bad, sugar leads to obesity, and we shouldn't be giving our kids sugar. And now there is this sort of idea that if you take away some of these items from the schools, you're missing out on a lot of funding that's going to the schools. But as the AP notes, if you actually look into some of the data, it suggests these companies, they've already been starting to make the move to the quote-unquote healthier products. So the lack of financial support going into the schools from these organizations, from these corporations, not going to be all that meaningful at the end of the day. So good on the president and the first lady and the agriculture department. I don't often tie those three together and just give them a gold star, but in this case I am, because I'm an equal opportunity blamer, but also congratulation giver. I don't know the term for that. It's the Jason Rantz Show.